Thank you, Heidi. Thank you for coming to this session. Pleased to be here with you today. Some of you may know that we have had an internet-based screening study since 2004. And a couple of years ago, we thought, CDC usually measures the overall prevalence of chlamydia in the country by what's going on in the family planning clinics. And so we decided, let's compare what we find on the internet study with what we find in family planning. So, by way of background, you all, many of you probably were in the session before this, that the internet is used for information about STDs, to find sex partners. There are innovative programs that you can get your partners treated, and our program, which is able to offer services for the STI with recruitment over the internet using mailed samples. So, as I mentioned, our objective was to determine whether women who self-collected vaginal swabs at home and mailed them to the laboratory demonstrated a higher prevalence of chlamydia than women that were screened in the same years in family planning clinics. So, as I mentioned, we use these self-obtained vaginal samples for home. People are empowered to order the test over the internet when they find out about the program. And we mail the kits to them, and they collect their genital sample at home. Today I'm just going to talk about females, but we also had the program active for males. But anyway, so they mail them to our laboratory, and we test them. They just drop them in a mailbox, prepaid self-addressed mailers. So what we did was look at our age-specific prevalences over the years and then looked at through our family planning clinic data in Region 3 in Philadelphia at the Family Planning Council and just tried to compare the prevalences. So we looked from 2004 to 2008. This is our little advertisement. We have little business cards that we hand out to people at health fairs and by way of advertising, put them on vans and put them in our school-based clinics. And we have them for African Americans and Hispanics, and we even have one that's written in Hispanic, and one that's written in Hispanic language. And so this is a picture of our website. If you click on the female side, this opens you up to the female side that you can order your kit. And if you're a man, you click on the male side. And basically, they're parallel and have much the same information. The questionnaires are a little different. But on each page for the men and the women, there's a educational page about chlamydia, how you get the chlamydia test, how do you stay healthy, how you test at home, and what you have to do if you decide you'd like to participate. This is the diagram of how to collect the self-administered swab at home. It's in the kit. It's on the website. So let's look at our results. So our total internet prevalence and we just limited this data to Baltimore and Maryland because that's what we got for the family planning clinics. We're also active in D.C. and West Virginia and Denver, Colorado, parts of Illinois. But this data is limited to just what we found on the internet and what we looked at in family planning clinics for Baltimore and Maryland and females. So for the internet, 45% were from Baltimore City because we report different separately to the IPP program, and 55% were from the remainder of Maryland. You can see that there was no statistical difference in the prevalences, 11 versus almost 10. So looking overall, the total chlamydia prevalence for family planning for many more people than we had on the internet, 166,000 females during this same time period from 2004 to 2008. Prevalence ranged different, a little bit different per year, but from 3.3 to 5.5. 25,000 of these females were from Maryland, up to 34,000 depending on the year, and 2,000 to 3,000 of the females tested in family planning were from Baltimore. So overall, the median range for all the internet female participants and all the female participants from family planning was actually 23 years. It varied a little bit over the years. The age range for our internet program was from 14 to 63 years, and the median range differed a little bit, but overall it was 23, but different years it varied between 23 and 27 years, and their range was from 10 years of age to 52 years. So again, stressing we were worried that we were capturing different age groups, but overall the prevalence or the median age for both groups was 23 years. So let's look at the internets. Not too many were 14 years old. Most of the ones were either from the 15 to 19 or the 20 to 24 years. But we did have 21% who were over 30 years of age. And by comparison, the family planning participants by age, almost exactly the same few that were 14 years of age. We did not look at the ones under 14 because we didn't have anybody under 14. Because it's a study. Anyway, almost the same were 15 to 19, and about 30-some percent were 20 to 24. We had a few more that were between 25 and 29 in family planning, and almost the same the ones that were 30 and over. So you can see this graphically in a pie chart here. This is the internet, 1,000 people, pretty much one quarter, one quarter, one quarter. And prevalence was 16% here. Prevalence was 10% in the 20 to 24-year-old group, 6.3% in the 25 to 29-year-old age group, and 1.7 in the over 30, pretty much like you would expect to see. So now, looking at family planning, and again, the numbers are very different, 166,000. Here's the pie, which you saw on the couple of slides ago. And the prevalence here was 7%. Remember, it was 16 before. The prevalence for the 20 to 24-year-old was 4.3. Our green people, who were 25 to 29, 2%, and 1.7%, remarkably similar to the internet. So we put these on a graph just to compare, and you can see internet's got higher prevalence, no doubt about it. Maybe we're getting the people who have symptoms more apt to have symptoms. We have breakdown for race. I do not have breakdown for race for family planning. But anyway, just an overall gestalt is we're finding more chlamydia prevalence in this age group. So we'd like to increase these numbers. So I picked two years that I thought were striking just to show you the comparison, because they did differ 2004, 5, 6, 7. And then I have an overall composite slide at the end. But this is the year for 2008, not that long ago. The Baltimore internet data, this is the Baltimore data, not the Maryland, but the ones that were from Baltimore, the prevalence for the 15 to 19-year-old age group is 27%, and it was like 14% for family planning in Baltimore. And you can see how they go, as you would expect. Another year I thought was interesting was those in Maryland, not in Baltimore, but in Maryland for year 2006. You can see here, here's the internet. They all end up about the same in the over 30 age group, interesting. And here's the prevalence in family planning. So personally, from a selfish point of view, I'd like to see more money going to getting these women in captured through the internet than family planning, but it's hard to do. So here's our summary slide. Shown along this axis is the age group, 15 to 19, 20, 24, 25, and then over 30. These are the years here, 2004, internet, family planning, 2005, internet, family planning, so forth, year 2006, 2007, 2008. So this is looking at all of the data in one big picture, but it's kind of confusing, which is why I showed you some of the individual pictures first. But basically, the light purple or the light blue. Oh, it shows up on blue on here and light purple on here. But anyway, you can see as a general gestalt, the prevalences are higher for blue trumps purple in this case for Baltimore. Okay, so then this is the same slide for Maryland. Again, the light purple trumps the dark maroon almost depending on which year, which age group. And so that's my final point, is that we are finding higher prevalence. And just to end with, women do like to collect their own specimen, their own vaginal sample. They think it is safe. Last time we looked at this data, we've now screened over 2,200 women, but this analysis was done at about 1,000. They rated the collection as easy to very easy on a Likert scale. They thought the instructions were easy, and they would use the internet system again. And we do have data that they are using it again, and we're in the process of measuring how many get rescreened that are positive within the recommended 3-month period. So, in conclusion, the internet recruited women demonstrated a higher prevalence than those in family planning in almost every age group except the 10 to 14, where there were just not very many women screened. And then recruiting women through this internet does give us another tool in our toolbox. We don't think it's a tool for everything, but one size does not fit all, and maybe having this extra tool in our toolbox will help us sort of think outside of the box and get some of these people in who wouldn't ordinarily go to a clinic. And so that's my last point, is to try to reach out and get people who are on the internet who might not avail themselves of being screened in a clinic. And I'd especially like to end with thanking the co-authors on this paper, Matilda Barnes, Bulba, who did the statistical analysis, Nicole Quinn. Matilda and Nicole are both here in the audience. Nicole did all of the testing. Catherine Wright did all of the statistical analysis from the survey, or from the family planning data in Philadelphia. Patricia Agreda is our lab manager. Pam Whittle, who works with us from the Baltimore aspect, and Mary Jett, and Terry Hogan. So that's all I have. Thanks very much. I'll be happy to take questions.
Thank you, Charlotte. I think we have time for one question. Let me go back there.
What were the demographics on the group that you knew the demographics on, the internet-based group?
As far as race or?
Race,
it's higher in black women, much higher prevalence.
That were
ordered the test, yeah. But I don't have the data broken down for family planning, so it might be similar. We just didn't have access to that data.
How is your project funded, and how do you foresee the future of this project?
It's funded penny by penny. We've gotten, over the years, we started out with a small grant from CDC given to the Baltimore City Health Department, who passed the money to us. And then one year we got some money through Region 3, passed to Region 3 in Philadelphia, who passed the money to us. And just recently we've gotten another small grant from CDC to look at extending it to other sites, maybe trying to get them to do the testing. And so we are getting ready to expand in Philadelphia. So it's been small little pockets of money, and we struggle along, but we eat a lot of the cost of running this program. We would like to see eventually get rid of it for being a research application and move into a public health application. In fact, we just got the IRB gave us permission to use Alaska and Philadelphia as sites that will just be public health participants. They won't sign a consent form, they won't answer a questionnaire, and we'll do fee-for-service for testing for standard of care for those two sites. So that's a little step in the right direction, and if that works out well, then our next step would be to say, if California want to participate, or Montana, that instead of the return kit coming to us at Hopkins, it would go to the state health lab or whoever does their testing, and they would do the test, and the result would go back to whoever, maybe the chlamydia coordinator for the site. So it could work, we envision, throughout the United States with the right management and the right tools and probably some money.